Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. The Philadelphia Orchestra returns to SPAC for its annual residency next week, Wednesday, July 31st, opening with the tradition of the Tchaikovsky Spectacular. Legendary jazz pianist Marcus Roberts and his trio will join the orchestra for a 100th anniversary celebration of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. You know this one. On August 1st, African music icon and Grammy Award winner Angelique Kidjo, thank you, Chris, will bring her African Symphony program with the orchestra on the 2nd of August, and the fifth installment of the popular Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix will be screened alongside the orchestra on August 3rd. The residency continues with 12 unique programs through August 17th. To tell us more, we welcome the president and CEO of SPAC, Elizabeth Sobel, as well as the vice president of artistic planning, Chris Shiley. Hello, dear friends. How are you?
Just great. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you on the program. Well, before we get into the orchestra coming, the ballet has been there. The place has been open for business for a while now. How are things going, calendar year 2024?
Things are going great. We had great attendance for jazz, great attendance for ballet, happy audiences. We had some slightly high temperatures during ballet, but I think it's just been going terrifically.
Did you lose any ballet dancers?
We did not. They were real troopers about
hydrated
it. It was amazing.
And good.
Yeah,
excellent.
Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. So it's been busy. It's a lot going on.
I think we can safely say this is the biggest SPAC season in recent history. So.
Now, what accounts for that?
Well, we'll talk about the programming, but I think that certainly for Jazz Fest, just the sort of range and caliber of the artists are just bringing in like record audiences.
Right.
So, and we've expanded Jazz Fest a lot in terms of just what the campus offers up in terms of food and activities and the, you know, craft tents and all that kind of stuff. And the SPAC experience has just gotten larger because of the new campus that came online back in 2021. So
Right. There's
a lot of factors. But also, as we get into the programming second week and talk about artists like John Legend, that like brings a lot, you know, a much bigger production, bigger audiences. And yeah, it's just been growing.
All good stuff. So, Chris, what has it been like to put this, working with the Philadelphia Orchestra and putting this program together?
Well, it's always a fun and challenging process working with them. And I think this year in particular, I mean, the snapshot you just gave of just week one
just
of
week
the
one.
Residency really shows, I think, what we've been after, which is just trying to have something for everyone on our season, something that everyone can come and enjoy no matter your tastes and experiences. And I think the orchestra in particular lends itself to that. It's such a nimble medium in a lot of ways. And it can do, of course, the core classical rep that the Philadelphia Orchestra does better than anybody with things like Rhapsody in Blue and Tchaikovsky's 1812 on opening night. And later on in the week, we have an amazing program with Yannick Nazis, again, their music director, doing the Alpine Symphony and Carmina Burana, like some really wonderful classical rep. But there's this other side of the symphony, be it playing the films and the ability to have this live score performed with the film of Harry Potter, or later on at the end of the residency, The Lion King on its 30th anniversary, is an incredible experience. And then you have these cross-genre collaborations as well that the orchestra can do with artists like John Legend and Angelique Kidjo, where you're bringing together two world-class artist institutions, you know, to kind of create something special with different genres kind of melding together into one. And I think it's a real testament to the versatility of the orchestra, the versatility of the musicians of the Philadelphia Orchestra, and it's been a fun, challenging but really fun season to put together with them.
And if I may, just I think it's also worth repeating, which we do every year, that like there is literally no place in the world where the Philadelphia Orchestra do four completely different programs per week for 3 weeks. That's worth what, like 3 months worth of programming in Philadelphia gets crammed into 3 weeks here.
Which is remarkable that they can do that, but also that we're the beneficiaries of
totally.
That.
Totally. It's utterly unique. Anywhere in the world, like this is the only place you get that.
I should have looked this up. I meant to last night, but do you know what year this is for the orchestra?
58th.
Yep.
58th year. Wow. Yep. That's a legacy, isn't it?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, to have this orchestra, truly and without doubt, one of the great orchestras of the world, and Yannick, one of the most in-demand and beloved music directors in the world, and they're here in our backyard every single year. It's just quite amazing.
Rightfully, you pointed out that I mentioned the first week, but that second week of John Legend and Yannick conducting the Alpine Symphony. Then there's an evening of Brahms on that Friday, August 9th, featuring?
Bamsuri Kim is the soloist playing the Brahms Violin Concerto, international, young international soloist coming over from Berlin. We're really excited this season. We have a series of international soloists coming back. Artists like Angelique, we mentioned. We have Bamsuri. We have some vocalists as part of the Carmina Burana program. We haven't been able to have international performers over the last few years between visa challenges pre-COVID and then, of course, COVID itself. So to be getting back to that is really exciting for us because it really just deepens the artistic output that we're getting from the stage. So this will be her debut with the Philadelphia Orchestra at SPAC. Very exciting for that. And Fabio Luisi will be conducting that program on August 9th, the All Brahms program, as well as the program the following night, Carmina Burana.
And then that brings us to the third week, which obviously will be ending with The Lion King, but we'll also have Dvorak's Eighth Symphony and Yo-Yo Ma.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So last year we unfortunately missed out on Yo-Yo Ma joining us. He got COVID at the end of the season, and we had to cancel his engagement. His friend Manny Axe stepped in, and that is a wonderful plan B if you have to have a plan B for Yo-Yo Ma. It worked out great. So we're really thrilled, though, to have him back with us this season on August 16th to kind of make good on last year's Dvorak Cello Concerto. Zhang Zhang will conduct that program. She conducted last year's program that he was on as well. So it's going to be a phenomenal night. Gil Shaham will be doing a brand new concerto that he premiered in the winter, written by Mason Bates, who we've done several works by throughout the last few seasons. It's actually a work that they created at SPAC last season because Gil was here performing the Vivaldi Four Seasons, and Mason's project, Philharmonia Fantastique, was performed last season. So they were in town together, and they used our SPAC School of the Arts to workshop this piece and to kind of finalize some details around it. So it's fun after that experience last year to have them come back and actually perform it with the orchestra as part of the residency.
Really great, amazing stuff. We mentioned Manny Axe, we mentioned Yo-Yo Ma. They're going to be together, too, at the Little Theater?
It's going to be at the Little Theater. It's
That's intimate.
That is intimate, to say the least.
That's extraordinary. Where else in the world does Yo-Yo Ma play in a 500-seat venue?
That is very cool.
We're very excited. It's August 25th. It's a benefit for the Little Theater, which, as you know, is SPAC's year-round home now. For the last 2 years, we've been programming in that space and been welcoming thousands of people to Spa State Park year-round for dance and theater and education programs. And we had this opportunity to bring this really special project called Beethoven for Three with Yo-Yo, Manny, and Leonidas Kavakis. They're Grammy-nominated for this project, and they're doing an arrangement of Beethoven's Sixth Symphony for just three voices. It's quite an undertaking, and we're very excited to present it. And all the proceeds from that will go to support SPAC's year-round efforts to keep that programming going in the Spa Little Theater going forward.
So. Very cool. Good stuff. And how about other things on the periphery?
Well, not so much on the periphery, but, you know, people think, I think there's still some historical view of SPAC as a summer venue. But to Chris's point, we are now 12 months a year flat out with programming in the Spa Little Theater, but also our education program, which every time we come on, we do mention that we've grown from serving 5,000 to now 50,000 students throughout the capital region. So education keeps going strong during the summer. They're in the middle of summer arts camp right now. And then, of course, I'm hoping and hopefully sure that we'll be back later towards the end of the summer to talk about exactly what's going on in the Spa Little Theater, because there's an amazing lineup that Chris has curated for the Spa Little Theater.
But you haven't announced it yet.
We've announced quite a bit of it. Not all of it, though. There's more to come. So certainly stay tuned.
So there's reason to have you back on. Okay, good. Always reason to have you back on. Always.
We can find a reason.
Always
don't worry.
Reason. Always reason. The facility looks great. I was there the other night. It was just beautiful and perfect. And Everybody seems like happy, and it's all good, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's been a good summer. I mean, even despite some of the crazy heat, and even, you know, like the Wednesday night of ballet, we like white knuckled through a tornado warning, which you know, skirted us. Thank goodness. So, you know, weather continues to be a sort of an existential challenge that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. But I agree with you. The grounds look beautiful. We were able to find a solution to the beating down of the lawn grass. So we still have lawn despite all the big Live Nation shows that have been coming through.
How did you figure that out?
That was actually Live Nation figured that out. And they invested a lot of money in decking that gets put down for the big shows. So it both protects, it keeps the soil from being compacted, but it also allows the sun and rain in, and allows the grass to grow up through the decking. So brilliant solution.
No technology.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic, and it was a big investment for them. But
one technology.
Don't jump on the lawn.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And then you'll get to breathe for like 12 seconds, and then you look to next year.
Yes, I think 12 seconds is about right.
Hey, we're already working on next summer.
Yeah.
So.
How does that go with all of the institutions, of whether it be the ballet or whether it be the orchestra, and the individual performers that you bring in? I mean, obviously they're working ahead as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're actually, in case of the orchestra in particular, but both the ballet and the orchestra, I mean, they're deep into 26 and 27 with their programming year round. And so the more that we can work ahead with them, the more that we can be thinking in advance, the better it is for everyone, the more time we have to plan and the more time we have to really identify some exciting collaborations that we can bring for the summer season. So
as far as the obviously the dip and the pain and suffering that was caused by COVID, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever feel like they were completely out of that, but you look at this as like sort of normal season.
I would say, you know, our ticket sales overall are greater this year. I mean, they've continued. Like last year was a record year for almost across the board, and this year is even better. So I do think that there's healthy building coming out of COVID.
And I think we've been able to hold on to some of the innovation that COVID brought. You know, as we were thinking about what we could do as a venue, changing things up a little bit, I think we've brought some of that to our classical programming that, you know, when you do something for 55 years, it becomes a certain amount of habit. And I think we've been able to find strategic ways to change things and reinvent a little bit and make them a little more exciting and invigorate them while still holding on to the core of them.
Because if you're going to do change, you might as well do it like where you have to do it.
Yeah, you're forced to. You might as well.
Because otherwise people may be a little reluctant to change.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's hard to believe I've been at SPAC now 7.5 years. And
that is hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. But I do think that an organization like that definitely needed rebooting, reimagining, you know. But it's also like the Queen Mary. I mean, you don't want to make drastic change, and it really requires sort of, you know, making incremental change and seeing how it affects the direction of everything, and continuing to build on innovation and reimagining.
When you talk about, we have about 2 minutes left, but when you talk about building on, how does that look? I mean, you have a plan for however far out.
Yeah, I think, you know, it depends on which part of building, you know, you're talking about, but certainly building from a real estate point of view, we built the Pines, which utterly transformed our operation in so many ways.
Gorgeous facility,
and it's just enabled so many things we couldn't have imagined previously. The Spa Little Theater, taking that over 2 years ago, again, has transformed things. Taking over the Loose Wire Studios, turning it into the School of the Arts, transformative. And with the residencies, clearly the Philadelphia Orchestra and the orchestra and the ballet are the rock and anchor of our programming. So how do you work with those organizations to innovate the programming, continue to super serve the classical, the lovers of classical ballet and classical music, but also bring in new audiences? So John Legend, Angelique Kidjo, but also at Jazz Fest was a perfect example where we had Leve, the TikTok sensation, who brought in hundreds and hundreds of young women who would never have come to Jazz Fest before, who then stayed on for Norah Jones.
Right.
So it's just it's innovation across the board, and part of it is vision, and part of it is reacting to what's actually happening in our in our midst.
Stirring a little good weather and luck, and you got a pretty good mix.
Yeah, the good weather really does help. So if you got any well wishes for that, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, light your candles.
Well, the Philadelphia Orchestra returns to SPAC next week, Wednesday, July 31st. They will be in residency through August 17th. You can find out about their residency as well as about all of the programs that we talked about and the many things going on that are very exciting by going to SPAC.org, SPAC.org. Elizabeth Sobel, Chris Shiley, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for
being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.